It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple announces Spring Forward event, and we give our predictions. New Earth Day and dance activity challenges. New workout categories added to Fitness Plus. Tim Cook talks retirement, sort of. And how to get an actual physical activity award. Plus reviews of AirPod Max ear cushions, Pat and Quill's AirPods Max leather case, and Onvis HomeKit door window sensor. This and much, much more, it's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/applewatchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 375, recorded Sunday, April 18th, 2021. It's flubber, not rubber.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Also joining us is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hello, guys. Thanks, Tom.
Yep, we're back. We took a week off, and Apple announces another event, so maybe we should take a week off more often, right?
Yeah. Yes.
We have a spring event coming, actually just 2 days away now. So we kind of debated a little bit. Chris, you had mentioned maybe we should wait and do the show Tuesday night. And normally I probably would have said yes, but we'd already been off a week. So I figured we'll do this, kind of make some predictions, and then we'll follow up next week with everything that happens here in a couple of days. It's coming up soon.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So Apple, did both of you get an actual email from Apple? Okay. So they're sending that out to everybody, which is great.
Yes.
Special event, April 20th. It's called Spring Loaded, which I like that. That's a neat title. Now everybody's trying to read something into the logo. And, you know, we do this every event, right? It's like, what's the hidden meaning with the colors and the lines, and what is, you know, does it spell something? People were doing all kinds of crazy things with it. But I don't think with all the speculation over the years on any of these events, there's ever been a hidden meaning in the logo, has there? I don't think so.
I don't look too much into it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just not deep enough, but I don't. I just think they try to create something fun and exciting, and maybe you talk about it, but I don't know if it's a hidden meaning.
Right. And that's why everybody tries to find some clue in there. But I think, at least from a creative standpoint, I think I know how this goes. I think, okay, spring event, we got to come up with a headline, right? So I think the first thing they come up with is Spring Loaded. Obviously, that's what they came up with, a nice play on the word spring, and they got a lot of stuff to talk about loaded. So then they need an image. So they just said, okay, let's make an Apple logo out of a spring. Let's add the Apple colors to it, and there you go. I don't think there's anything more to it than that. But it's
I would say the same thing, Tom.
Yeah.
I don't know. They had a very similar logo back in the, October event that when they created like 360 different logos for that tiny little snippet of the video.
I have that as a screensaver.
Yeah. I think one of them looks just like this.
A little bit. Yeah. It's kind of drawn. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think they've been using something. They had a bunch of artists create an Apple logo animated.
Yeah.
And that was one of them.
Yeah.
But actually, I think, was it yesterday or day before or sometime, Siri, if you had asked Siri when the next Apple event was, she said April 20th. before Apple even announced it. It's like a day before.
No kidding. Really?
Yeah. And yeah, I saw that on Twitter and I was like, oh, and then like not long after that, these invites and the official announcement, I'm wondering if is Siri kind of jumped the gun or someone in that, group at Apple
which pushed the code a little early.
Wasn't supposed to release it. So I didn't know that Siri was a serial leaker and a trusted source. So
in did you ask Siri or yeah. Do you read something to ask Siri?
No, you just push the button and you say, when is the next Apple event? She would say April 20th. And this was before Apple announced it. So
I'm just saying, did you just do that on your own? Or did you read that somewhere?
Oh, no, I saw it on Twitter. I saw it on Twitter. Several people
probably said that and I missed that.
Had seen it.
Ah,
and,
okay.
Yeah. So in related news, Apple has fired Siri for leaking information to the press. I mean, come on. It doesn't get any more inside than that, than Siri, right? You know she listens to everything they say all the time at Apple Park. Mm. They should have known. They got to be quiet about this stuff because Siri's going to leak it. I mean,
yeah, sometimes you know she just wants to show them who's in charge.
Can you imagine Tim Cook say, "Hey Siri, you're fired."
That's not nice. There goes someone's saying something.
That was mine. She said, "That's not nice." Yeah. Okay. I have a new button on this board updated for the show. Let me see if I can find it here. The a bleep button. So I can so I can so if I'm going to say the trigger word here, maybe I should bleep it.
Yeah, that's funny.
So it'd be, hey, you're fired. I mean, okay, that works.
I didn't speaking of beeps.
Yeah.
Did you I didn't listen to our last show. Did you beep out any of the stuff we said? Because I know it was probably like an X-rated version for
oh
us.
No, there was just one word. I said one thing and I bleeped it. Yeah, I did bleep it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I had to go back. I had to go in and like find the bleep sound and, you know, cut it in.
Yeah.
And all of that.
Yeah.
Well, now on the fly I can do it. Now I don't know how I could catch it. If we decided to curse, I'd have to know ahead of time before I hit the button. Mm. But
well, yeah, if you're doing it, you're good because you can kind of anticipate it. But if Vincent and I throw those F-bombs out all the time, you're in trouble.
That's exactly right. I'm going to just let me know ahead of time. Text me and I'll bleep it.
Yep.
But yeah, that's a new feature on this. It's got an actual bleep button on here. So anyway, so Vincent, you mentioned this spring loaded. Mm-hmm. It's on 420, which
yes,
is,
it is.
What pot day, right?
Yes, pretty much.
So my question, and I've heard this people mention this too, are they all going to be loaded during the presentation?
Exactly.
maybe just Craig Federighi will be. Yeah.
Just a nuance in words though. Loaded kind of is a more aligned to like drinking, right? You're loaded when you're drinking.
Oh, that's true. Either way.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's other words to like when you're, you know, 420.
Well, I think,
I'm just saying.
I think loaded is what you may need to be to afford all the new stuff that they're going to announce. Maybe that's what this means.
Now, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go, yeah.
Right. So if you're loaded, you'll afford everything that's going to be released.
I've just got my credit Apple card down to paid off except for the monthly charges. That's where I'm at. So I don't need anything else.
Mm. Or you're ready now.
Well, I got a little behind. I said, I just need to pay this off. So I went and paid it off. And then, you know, on the first of the month, six things charge. Like, oh, I have six things on payment plans.
Okay. So we have an event. It's now a couple of days away. It will be completely virtual, just like their other events have been recently. It's going to be streamed live from Apple Park starting at, 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern. So that's noon Central. I guess you can adjust your time zone via that.
That's pretty standard time, right?
Yeah, that's what they always do, which it's right at lunchtime here. So in our time frame. Now, last year, Apple did not hold a March event at all because of the pandemic. They just announced the new iPad Pro and the Magic Keyboard and MacBook Air through a press release. Wow. Can you believe the Magic Keyboard's a year old?
Yes, it is.
That's wow. What a crazy thing to think about. That seems like it was just released. Anyway, you can watch it live through Apple's website, the Apple TV app, and on YouTube. So there's a number of ways to watch it. So let's talk about for a minute what we think might be released here. And there's a number of things people are talking about. I think the easy guess here, sorry, I'm losing my voice already.
Yeah.
All right. The easy thing to predict is going to be a new iPad Pro, right? We're going to have a mini LED display, probably. And it will probably be the 12.9-inch iPad Pro will have that first. And I think eventually the 11-inch will get that, the 11-inch iPad Pro. I don't know if they'll do both at once. Now, the cool thing about the mini LED is it'll be brighter, more power efficient, and a lower risk of burn-in. I didn't even think about that. That's nice.
Yeah.
That's really nice. So this is something they're probably going to want to put on everything, right, at some point? The laptops and the phones and everything, right?
Yeah. Well,
is the phone already mini LED? No.
I think it's OLED, right? Yeah.
Yeah, OLED. Okay. Is OLED mini LED?
No. Okay. OLED's the one that will burn in over time.
Okay, so we do need this in everything. Okay.
Yeah,
Now, they're saying that the design will probably be the same. It'll look just like the 2020 model of the iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. New chipset, probably based on an A14 for better performance. And now, they're saying this chip appears to be based on the M1 that is in the Apple Silicon Mac Mini, MacBook Pro, and MacBook Air. So, the 2020 iPad Pro is already so fast from what I've read. What are you going to be able to do with this more power? I mean, it's already overpowered.
That's what I say, Tom. You know, I have the 2019 iPad Pro. Right. Fantastic machine. Mm-hmm. I don't need anything else for what I use it for. Unless you're a heavy user and would it be for graphics and design and editing for movies and things like that, maybe. But if you're just, 95 to 99% of the population that are using it for reading Facebook and reading the news.
Overkill.
It's way overkill.
Yeah, overpowered.
It's powerful, the OS. Whatever they're going to put into it, you're going to need it to run faster.
Right. Now apparently it's going to also feature a Thunderbolt connectivity for the first time. Now that is interesting. External displays, storage, all kinds of things. Because right now it's just USB-C that you could attach. But
it is, yeah. So maybe now, again, it's allowing you to use it more as a computer.
Right.
For lack of better terms.
Might be getting closer to that. And I guess if they just keep bumping it up, it gives people a reason or excuse to buy a new one.
Yeah.
I mean, I've still got the original 12.9 iPad Pro that came out. How long ago was that? That was 6 years ago?
Has the Pro been out that long?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I think so.
I'll be darned.
I think so. Yeah. And, it had the first Apple Pencil, which again, let's add that to the list. I think there's going to be a Pencil 3, right? Mm. They wouldn't call it a Pencil Pro, would they? No?
Okay. Wouldn't. Not the Max.
Pencil Max. Now, the only fear here is we're having a bit of a chip shortage in the world.
Yes, we are.
So these might be real hard to get when Apple announces it. So if you're really looking to get one, I'd have my finger hovering over Apple's website as they announce things. If you really need one, because it may take a while to get it.
That's with my review 2 weeks ago of my new car that I'm waiting for. That's the delay in my new car as well. So I they said chips and rubber products are going to be tough to get to for some reason. I don't know, but
whoa, you really need
everything's
going to
be. You're going to be waiting for everything.
You can wait on the electronics, but you got to have the wheels, right?
Yes.
Wait, I'm supposed to start hoarding tires now? Is that?
Oh, and by the way, Apple Pencil, November 11th, 2015. So yes, you're right. 6 years.
Yeah, okay. There you go. That's what I thought. 6 years old.
Second generation, 2018. So we're, 3 years later, we're due for a third generation.
I guess we are. They had one last year, right? There was a new iPad Pro last year.
At the Pencil.
Oh, the Pencil. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. I'll pencil that in.
Pencil that in for 2 days from now.
There you go.
What else? iPad Mini, maybe? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, because that was last updated in 2019. Either that or they're going to kill it.
Yeah, people love it. People who use the Mini, I've been carrying it around. It's inside a nice purse or something like that, or a little backpack.
Right.
So much easier to use, but it still has the old, you know, the big bevels on the top and bottom.
But the new iPhone's mm-hmm. going to be almost that size soon.
that's true.
So, you know, they're going to be about an inch apart here pretty soon.
Yeah, they're kind of getting close, aren't they?
They are. Let's move on to the next thing that I'm almost hesitant to even mention. AirTags. It's been 2 years we've been talking about these things. Mm. Are they finally going to do this? Just this past week, Apple announced an update. It's Find My Network now supports mm-hmm. third-party accessories.
That was an interesting article.
Some e-bikes and some mm-hmm. earbuds from mm-hmm. Belkin and some other things. And maybe that is setting the stage for these AirTags.
Yeah.
Don't know. I'm hesitant to say that. It's like the air power we kept thinking was coming, but don't know.
Yeah.
With the things opening up a bit more with, you know, from the pandemic, maybe they think it's time to finally release these. I still think that's part of the reason they held back, but mm-hmm. what do you think? You think we'll see AirTags?
I'm really hoping so. I mean, it's something that could change the landscape with tags pretty much everywhere. And, you know, mm-hmm. kind of what the article referred to, there's so many iPhones out there that, you know, in terms of being able to ping something, the chances of finding it is actually pretty high. It's crazy.
Yeah. I heard an explanation of how this works, because at first I was a little confused. Mm. But the idea is that it will alert another iPhone if it is near your mm-hmm. lost device, if you really lose something, and it would send mm-hmm. you that information. But yep. I guess knowing Apple, it's got to be completely locked down securely, you know, mm-hmm. not quite sure how they'll do that, but,
just an ID. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very specific to it. And then they have the U1 chip, which can, you know, make it even more precise, right, as to where mm-hmm. it is. Because, you know, you look at Find My right now, and my laptop, my iPad Pro is in the front yard or the street. You know, I mean, it's not quite that specific, but mm-hmm. I think this would help maybe get them a little closer. But what else? Apple TV. Will we see an update?
Yes.
You think so? Okay.
I'm guessing, because it's more hope than anything else.
Yeah, that's true. At a certain point, these are like, it's what I want. I don't know.
Definitely, yes.
But the rumor for, 9-to-5 Mac actually found some evidence that the Apple TV would support 120 hertz display. Mm. And then Bloomberg, we know in the past, we talked about this, would have an updated remote that would support mm-hmm. the Find My
app. Yes.
So there's some rumblings out there about it. But I don't know. There's also been rumblings about AirTags for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, how about AirPods? The AirPods 3, there's been mention of that as well.
Yeah, I think that's ready for release. Yeah.
That might
changing the first gen, right? The first gen look and feel to a shorter stem.
Correct. They'll look more like the Pro, but they're still just AirPods, mm-hmm. right? What would you call mm-hmm. that? AirPods semi-pro?
Yeah, I was going to say AirPods Max Semi minus one Pro. I don't know. Yeah, something like that.
How about AirPods Pro Lite?
There you go. That's simple. There,
for semi-formal events. Simple. Business attire. Yes.
Exactly. Yes. Semi-formal events. It's more for casual listening. Yeah.
You know, when you want to look expensive, but you're not.
Yeah, the people won't. That's true. You won't be able to know the difference when you put them in now, will you?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, and then here's the big one. New iMacs. Are we going to get a new iMac, or are we going to have to wait a little longer?
I'm going for it. I guess they're going to go for it. Okay. They're going for it, Tom.
I like the way you think. I would enjoy that. I'll get into this in what I don't like this week. But my iMac kind of died this week. So
that was sad.
I'm definitely in the market for something new. Now the rumors we've seen, obviously this would be an Apple Silicon iMac with an M chip of some number, but also in colors was the other big rumor. That they might come out in different colors. Now, I'm not sure about an event like this if they're going to – that's a lot to put in there. By the time you get through with the iPad Pro and both the other version of the iPad and a pencil technology, maybe the AirPods, do you have time to do a whole new iMac?
Yeah, and as soon as I said yes, my first back thought was, you know, they don't have enough time, because I was thinking the same thing. We just went through five or six different items. And I think the last time they've been doing three or four, haven't they? They haven't done five or six.
Right. But this says loaded. So
yeah, it is loaded. It's a lot.
Okay. It's loaded. That's right.
It's loaded.
Oh, they discontinued it. The previous version. So
yeah. And that's, you know, when you start reading things into that invite, all the colors, maybe the iMacs come in colors and the, it's got an adjustable stand, so it's spring-loaded. You know, who knows?
Okay, I'm back in. It's going to happen.
Doesn't take much to convince you, Chris.
Not at all. I can be wishy-washy as good as with the best of them.
But then again, okay, I'll throw some more. I'll dampen your expectations a little bit more. There is a chip shortage going on. This might get pushed. We do expect it this year, but the question is whether it would be in this April event. Now, some people have said that Apple might kind of load up, if you will, this event with all the hardware and leave the Worldwide Developers Conference in a couple of months to focus on software, which makes sense too, right?
Yeah, I actually thought a little bit about that too. Because like the Watch OS 7, I mean, that's got to be ready. All the betas, I mean, how many betas did it have? Seven betas for... For it, six or seven betas? It's got to be ready. Oh, so they wait another month, 2 months to release it?
Yeah, we're going to see, I think, next week, obviously 14.5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for sure that's got to be released. I don't know. We'll see. Should be very interesting.
I could put an AirTag, or at least the AirTag technology, into Pencil and a bunch of other, you know, peripherals that they don't have, like keyboards and mice, phone home.
Just be the U1 chip, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And pretty much everything.
Well, there's another question. Do you redesign the keyboard or the mouse with the new Mac, iMac? That's been a while.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Maybe, because it would come together pretty well. They usually have a uniquely paired keyboard and mouse with the iMac.
Yeah. Right. How about a mouse that you don't have to kill upside down like a dead bug to charge?
Maybe. You rest it on the AirPod.
Oh, gosh.
Mouse pad.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was saying. Yeah. It's one part of the pad is magnetic, and it uses MagSafe. There you go. Just
you
magnetically charge it.
It charges itself on kinetic energy when you move it.
Hey, you know, if they put a magnet in the bottom of the mouse, you could just set it on any charging puck, right? Any MagSafe would charge it. That'd be interesting. I guess it's not big enough, right? Not big enough.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Make it the Apple charger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stick it on one of those. Anyway, we'll see. This will be in a couple of days. I'll probably tweet some stuff during the event. Be interesting.
Exciting.
Any other predictions?
No, I'm out of time. I mean, I've said yes to too many things, so I can't predict anything else.
Well, you can always cover your bases, right?
Yeah, no watch things, huh?
But nobody's talking about this, you know, Apple Glass, right, with this event.
Yeah, that's what the preview is all about, right?
The what? Preview?
Oh, wait, that was WWDC.
Yeah, that was WWDC invite. I think this is the first time in memory that Apple has put out an invite after they've already put out an invite. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
two invites in a row.
Done that before. Kind of weird.
Yeah, but Vincent said something pretty important just before we continued. There doesn't seem to be anything Apple Watch related, does there?
Mm. Oh.
And is that unusual for the spring event?
No, in fact, you just reminded me. We hopefully will see spring colors of Apple Watch bands.
Of yeah. bands, yeah.
And maybe some phone cases to match. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see both of those.
Yeah, think about the phone cases. There's going to be a new phone in September, the 13?
Or 14, whatever they want to call it, or the 12S.
Yeah, if they skip.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember. They typically release new cases in the spring because, you know, people are going to buy new cases for 6 months.
Well, somebody posted an image of the Apple Watch bands in spring for the last 4 years or so. Mm. And they've always put out, and there's slight variations of shade, you know, of colors, but they do every spring, and we haven't seen them yet. So
it's probably due to the rubber shortage, so there won't be any rubber bands.
No, but you could still do the others. A rubber shortage. It's fluoroelastomer.
That's right.
It's flubber, not rubber. And we have a show title. Okay. But yeah, we'll see if they do. Now that's the kind of thing though that they don't mention in the event. It just shows up on the website, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, all right. Any other predictions?
I've pretty much covered all the bases there.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, between this event and 6 weeks later, the Worldwide Developer Conference, that'll be exciting. That'll be a lot of new things to noodle on, both hardware and software.
Yes, but again, to your point, Vincent, that this is not very watch focused. Actually, our show has not been in quite a while. Simply because there's nothing new to talk about. You know, we can keep going over old stuff. And
we're the leading indicator of where they're going. There it is.
There you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. Speaking of where people are going, good segue. Tim Cook says he's probably not going to be at Apple in 10 years' time. So he did an interview with Kara Swisher. And in that interview, she asked Cook if he will still be at Apple in 10 years' time. And he said he probably won't be running Apple in 10 years, although he said the date is not in sight. He gave no hints about who would replace him. But to quote him, here's his quote from Cook, 10 more years? Probably not, but I can tell you that I feel great right now and the date is not in sight. But 10 more years is a long time and probably not 10 more years. So then she said, what would you do if you weren't running Apple? He says, I don't have a clue because I love this company so much that it's hard to imagine my life without it. And so I don't think I will know that until after I'm not here, because I think I will run so fast that I'll never really think about it until I'm not running anymore. Does that make any sense? And then she said, maybe just go on vacation. And he left. So, so interesting that he doesn't, I mean, he's 60. Okay. So he'd be, you know, 10 years time, he'd be 70. Yeah. I think that's the time you probably think about maybe handing it off to someone else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And usually these types of CEOs can, making money's not the important thing anymore for them.
Oh, no.
Because they probably have more than they can ever spend on 10 families and 10 generations. But being relevant, because you're always there are different kinds of people. So I would say you could do speaking, you do college graduations, you know, you know, there's a lot of things you can do. So work really hard till you're 65, 68, and then you can still run pretty hard.
Yeah. And, you know, that's true. What do you do after you've been running the world's biggest company and you helped make it that way? Mm-hmm. You know, let's face it, since Tim Cook took over from Apple, from Steve Jobs, the company has grown like no other company in the history of the world.
Yeah. So he's doubled the revenue, I think.
Yeah. You can't say he's doing a bad job. Mm-hmm. He's done an amazing job.
And I mean, their cash position is just the most incredible thing you ever heard of. I mean, that's just unbelievable.
Right. And you know, who would take over? That's the speculation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who knows? I mean, in 10 years' time, there could be someone new there, someone who's just starting there. Who knows? You know, could rise to that level. Everybody, you know, in the past, I would have said someone like a Phil Schiller or whatever, but, you know, Johnny Ive, but they're gone, right? Johnny Ive, Phil Schiller, Dan Riccio, they're all gone or stepped down pretty much completely. So, you know, Jeff Williams is the candidate right now, I think, that people are talking about. Mm-hmm.
And he's COO, right?
Yeah. I know. I kind of throw my hat in the ring for Craig Federighi, but Craig. He's got a better personality for the company, wouldn't he? But I don't know. That's something to think about. You know, because Steve Jobs obviously handpicked Tim Cook to be his successor. Mm-hmm. Right. That was a clear, definite handover. And we haven't seen
it. Oh, you heard it here, folks. We're on Team Craig.
Yes. Okay. And hopefully Craig can hang around long enough in the next 10 years. Anyway, so that was interesting. But anyway, that helps. I know he's got to be very careful about what he says when someone asks that question, right, for the stock and everything else.
Yeah, he does. Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you answer the wrong way and you can lose a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this kind of is on the heels of what Bezos said he was stepping down.
Right. So, was that a surprise? It took me by surprise. I had no idea.
Like I said, I mean, if you have all that money, you got to go spend it one of these days.
Well, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's got.
Well, I mean, I've read a couple of books about Amazon and leaders, and it didn't. His personality didn't seem like the kind of guy that would step down. It seemed like he'd be there until he keeled over at his desk, you know, the way he's at, but maybe that's the reason he left too. I mean, if you read about him, he's high intensity stress level kind of guy, right? That's was his leadership style. So like you said, Vincent, you got to spend your billions somewhere, sometime. I mean, you know, so maybe he's got other adventures he wants to look at.
Yeah. And in reading the comments, and again, I know I shouldn't do that on these articles, but
don't do it.
Yeah. But people are just talking about how, they want the Apple's boring now. And da, da, da. It's like, you don't understand what it takes to do what he's done, you know, to keep this company going. It's not all brand new stuff like an iPhone and touch interface, you know, every other year. Those are lightning in a bottle moments, right? Mm-hmm. Those are things that you rarely see once in a lifetime. Apple's been fortunate enough to do it several times, but it's not something you can do all the time. It's a rare thing. And the idea that a group of people would stay together for, you know, that again, lightning in a bottle, right? You catch all these talented people together at the same time, and you get stuff like the iPhone and all that, but or even the original Mac. But those things don't last. Nothing does. And that's what people have to realize. Things do change. It doesn't matter how great it was. It does change. So anyway.
Yeah.
Very true.
Let's move on. So this is from Bloomberg. Again, we were talking about the Apple TV. Apple, they say, is developing a connected TV box with integrated HomePod speaker and FaceTime camera. So putting all those together. So it would be like a smart speaker Apple TV with a camera for FaceTime, etc. Mm-hmm. Interesting idea.
makes a heck of a lot of sense.
It does. When you look at the fact that they just killed the HomePod, mm-hmm. and the Apple TV hasn't been updated in a, well, it hasn't been that long, but it hasn't really changed much, you know? I don't know. We'll see. Because Apple has to know that the HomePod itself was used more for speakers for a television than anything else.
Right, right.
right? Hmm. So maybe there's a market there for something like this. I don't know.
But didn't we just have a story about, was it, I guess, 2 weeks ago when we did our last show, that the HomePod was going to be this, right? With that HomePod would be like the Google device. And so now this one's saying the Apple TV box would be integrated with this. So it's a couple stories in a row kind of speculating, you know, with the word HomePod in it, you know, what's going to happen to the HomePod capabilities and you know, technology.
Right. And is it kind of weird to have a product called HomePod Mini when there's no longer a HomePod? Right.
Yeah, that is the HomePod. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they should. Yeah, next evolution of the HomePod would be great.
Yeah, that's like you have an iPad Mini, but they got rid of the iPad. Mm-hmm. All the other iPads, all they have is an iPad Mini. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of weird. So there's something cooking. Let's put it that way. They're working on something, and that would be neat.
I would think they have to be.
Yeah, a new home device, right? Tie some of this stuff together, and it is kind of frustrating that your Apple TV doesn't have FaceTime. Doesn't, you know, the camera's missing. It's like that one piece that would make it more usable, right?
Yeah,
with your television,
it would change how you do FaceTime a little bit, because
yeah,
everyone kind of does it sitting on your, you know, the device holding your phone up in front of you, or you're sitting your iPad on your lap, like when I do with my kids, you know. I guess if you do it on your TV, you're sitting in your living room, kind of looking up at the TV. I mean, it's a little different, but you'd still do it.
Right. Now, they also talk about a device that would combine, you know, an iPad with a HomePod speaker and include a camera for video chat, and that Apple has explored connecting the iPad to the speaker with a robotic arm that can move to follow a user around the room, kind of like Amazon's, I guess, the Echo Show does that.
Facebook's portal does that.
Facebook's too, portal does that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I've even seen third-party devices that you can put something in that will pivot and turn with face recognition, right? So,
yeah,
that makes it more usable that way. And, you know, when you always saw images of what the future would be like, and someone's doing a video chat, they're just walking around the room like normal. They're not standing there holding something, moving it, setting it down on a table, adjusting mm-hmm. it. You know, mm-hmm. they never do any of that stuff. It just happens. And I guess that's what they're kind of looking at doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have HomePod, they dropped $50.
The what?
The HomePods. Looks like they lowered the price down to $299 now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been a while they've had that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did that about a year ago.
Yeah,
that was like still 350.
No, that's the more recent one that I just got was $299. So,
oh, okay,
yeah. That brings up the next story: is they're still available, by the way.
Yes, they are.
It's been a month. They discontinued it a month ago, and you can still get now you can only get the white one because the black one sold out immediately. But you can still get the white ones available a month later. Obviously, that's why. by the way, mine, as I mentioned before, and other people who've gotten them here very recently, it's still from the original stock. So they haven't sold them in 3 years, and they still can't sell them. like you said, Vincent, they discounted the price $50, all of that, still can't get rid of them all. So if you still want one, hurry up. You can still get it.
We know, you know, this fall, if they say you buy an iPhone and instead of getting, you know, 12 months free of Apple TV Plus, they get buy another phone. Oh, we're going to give you a HomePod too.
Right.
We need to get rid of these things.
Yeah. But down to where you just, you know, you buy a new lightning cable, get a free iPod.
Exactly. There you go.
We're going to give it away with everything. Yeah. So anyway, I bought an extra one. I did my part. Now it's your turn, Chris, Vincent. You need to get one of these
before the very tempting.
It yes. is very tempting. Actually, I'm holding on to it. The one I got, I haven't opened yet. Holding on to it for a new Apple TV that I can use upstairs here in my office and connect it to that. So I'm just waiting for the new Apple TV.
Nice.
When and if it comes out, I'm ready.
Yeah, I think I've told you guys. I even go not. I know football season's over, but I was even going and streaming football instead of watching it on TV, so I can run it through the HomePods. I mean, the sound is so much more exciting. When I actually do watch something, it doesn't go through the HomePods. I'm like, what the hell is this? Oh, excuse me. What the heck is this?
Wait, hold on. Oh, sorry, I'm too late.
Oh, darn it. It's just no fun, you know, that normal sound. So I have them everywhere. Everywhere I have a TV, I have a HomePod connected to it.
Right. It actually makes me a little upset when it accidentally goes to like the TV speakers.
Yes.
Let me change that. Exactly. You know, and the most frustrating thing of all is on Apple TV, all these different apps, they all work differently as far as the menu controls. Some you can't even access the audio control when you're in the middle of a show.
Exactly.
It drives me nuts. There's no consistency whatsoever.
Is that like HBO Max, I think, is the one, or one of those is you can't even get to the controls to throw down the HomePods. It's so frustrating.
Disney.
I forget which one.
Disney Plus. That's it. Yeah. Can't do it. Normally you swipe down, you get your audio controls, subtitles, all that. Nope.
Yes.
Not with Disney. Yeah. Hmm. It's frustrating. And then I discovered another issue. Watching MLB, right? Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. App on the Apple TV, it would not load. You know, everything's good. You click play for the live game, you get nothing but a black screen and a spinning wheel. But when you turned off your HomePods and went to your TV speakers, it worked fine.
Oh, weird.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
And that's, you know, that's after deleting the app, you know, reinstalling it, turning the Apple TV off and on. I saw that in a forum somewhere. Someone said that was the way they got it to work. And I'm like, man, there's just no consistency here whatsoever. Hmm. But all right. Speaking of Apple TV, let's just segue right into the next one here. We got 2 weeks worth of stuff. We'll get through it. Apple TV Plus features the highest rated content of any streaming service. This is according to a study that was done from the analysis from Self Financial, and they used IMDb scores with U.S. customer data that Apple TV Plus has the highest quality content when compared to Netflix, HBO Max, Prime Video, Disney Plus, and Hulu. So you got all the top ones there. Mm-hmm. I believe that. I truly believe that. The study found that Apple TV Plus had the highest average score for its titles, but it also has fewer than 70 titles to choose from.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So they have the least amount of offerings, but the highest quality in that content, which isn't that a complete reflection of Apple itself? They don't offer that many things, but everything they do is super high quality.
Yep,
it is. When I read this, Tom, I thought the same thing. Netflix was one of the lowest ones. I think Disney Plus was the lowest, and then Netflix was the next.
Yeah,
So Disney Plus being the lowest surprised me. But Netflix being the second, it doesn't. I mean, it's millions of titles versus 70, and I think that you're going to get a wider range unless they normalize it some way. Then no, it didn't surprise me that these ratings came out that way.
Right, I think. The problem with Netflix, yes, you can always find something to watch, but it's never always that great.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's very rare that you find something really good.
Used to be the library of things that, hey, you know, I want to watch this movie from the 80s and pull it up. Actually, I was just looking it up. I was looking up for Ace Ventura. They don't have it. It's something you have to buy or rent.
Yeah. It's always that's kind of, It's a gamble, or it's like a game you're playing. It's like, I want to watch this. Can I see it for free? Mm-hmm. It's something I'm already paying for? No, sorry.
Yeah.
You have to buy that one. I've done that because I've been watching like entire series of stuff. I'm getting kind of bored with my TV viewing, but like I'll watch an entire franchise. So like all the Lord of the Rings or all the, you know, that kind of thing in a row. And it's gotten down to the point where I've watched like all the Bourne movies. And that was a challenge to get them all in order and find them all on everything I already subscribe to. Yeah, it's a challenge to do that. I've kind of run out of franchises now. I think I'm done.
This could be a whole service, you know, Tom. You can just be, you know, like the TV trainer. This is what you should watch this week.
Well, let me tell you a tip, though. Here's a tip. On Apple TV Plus, or on Apple TV, sorry, itself, when you hold down the Siri thing to search, right, you do the voice search. So I'm looking for a particular movie, and I do the search, and it pops up. 9 times out of 10, the first thing it's going to say is it's available for rent or purchase from Apple.
Right.
Scroll down. After you get through a couple of other things, it finally says also available, and you can find Amazon. You know, you won't find Netflix on that list because they don't integrate, but you can usually find it in another service, but they don't put that up front. Apple buries that, and I understand why. But I didn't know that for a while. I wasn't scrolling deep enough. I'd just hit that first paywall and say, ah, I got to pay for it. I'm going to go find something else. But if you scroll down, you can usually find it.
Scroll down. Get past the first page.
Anyway.
Yeah, I did that.
Go ahead.
I did that recently with Westworld. The HBO had the series, which is, you know, mind-melting when you have to kind of go through it. And I was like, hey, do you know – there's a movie from like 1972 that my dad took me to called Westworld. And my son's like, what?
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah. So, and it's like 85 minutes. I mean, you can crush through it. And,
Yul Brynner.
So, Yul Brynner, man, he was scary. He was a scary mofo. I mean, I was like, I was a young kid. My dad took me and I was
okay, go ahead.
And then they had Westworld 2 and, you know, then Future World. So Future they had like a trilogy. They're like a trilogy, and you know. So if you want to go back and find those movies, if you're a Westworld fan, go do that.
Now, this the content. The other thing they mentioned that Apple's their service has more 4K HDR content than HBO Max. That is interesting. So yeah, Apple is going for the quality as the main. Differentiator between these services. And I agree. Everything I've seen on Apple TV Plus has been great. It's been wonderful. Have you been watching For All Mankind?
Yep. Just one more episode, right? Just came out Friday. I've got to catch up.
You got to watch that one. Because then we got one more left, I think.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through this season. So I'm episode 4 or 5. So still impressed. I was a little hesitant to do it.
It gets great. It gets great. I'm like, and of course they always do this right near the end of the season, right? They start bringing in things and you're like, oh, this is going to be so cool for the future.
Well, is there going to be a war with Russia on the moon? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, exactly. That's where it looks like it's headed. But
yeah,
I still love catching the little tiny pieces of alternate reality that you hear in like on a TV in the background. Because on this latest one, just on the TV in the background, you saw a picture on the newscaster and an image of John Lennon. And I'm like, oh, did he die later? And they're like, no, he's having a peace concert that he's organized and put together. And we're talking 1986 or something by now. He died in 1980. Yeah. But it's interesting to catch those little tiny, you know, pop culture references, the things they think might have changed. And I found myself, when they talk about a particular shuttle name, I find myself having to look up to see, is that the one that blew up on the launch pad? Is that the one that, find, and apparently it didn't. Challenger did not.
Right? They didn't.
They caught the O-ring in time. But
yeah, right.
Yeah, stuff like that is just fascinating. They're doing a great job.
FaceTime in the 80s. There you go.
The what?
They have FaceTime in the 80s.
Yes, from the moon. the moon.
And they get rights to like Johnny Carson, where they can like manipulate Johnny talking to people.
I love that.
It's got to be expensive to do that, but they do that very well, and they kind of work it in you know, effectively into the messaging of and the flow of the episode.
Yeah, Carson and Reagan and it's well done, very well done. Anyway, speaking of Apple TV Plus and quality, I didn't realize this. Did you know that Apple has received 345 award nominations?
Holy mackerel!
And 91 wins. Critics' Choice Awards, yeah. Critics' Choice Commentary Awards, Daytime and Primetime Emmy Awards, and NAACP Awards, Peabody Awards, Golden Globe. Wow. And it hasn't been that long. It hasn't been on that long. Mm-hmm. And that's where the quality comes in. So,
no, their stuff's really good. Everything I've watched has been high quality and very well done. There's no argument there.
Right.
But it's just a different – it's a different model. They're not Netflix, and comparing them to Netflix can be dicey because they're doing it to the companies are totally different in what they're trying to do. So I think that that's the only thing I had when I was reading that story.
Right. All right. Let's move on to some actual, well, okay. This is a concept. It's not actual watch news, but it's related to the Apple Watch. I found this design. Again, this is from Yanko Design. I think I've featured some stuff like this before. I'll put a link in the show notes so everybody can see this, but it's a packaging concept that someone put together to mix and match straps with the watch without touching them. Did you look at this thing? This is pretty cool. So this was from Nolan Nisbet, designed this for the Apple Watch and was inspired by the packaging design for the iPod. Remember the clear cases that the iPod used to come in? Mm-hmm. He's taken put it into two parts so that it's a circular design for the strap, but the watch is in a plastic case that clicks in. And there's a big hole in the center so you can actually put your hand in there and see how that watch with that band looks on your wrist, but you haven't touched anything. It's still in the package. So you can mix and match. And he designed this as a kind of a matchup with or between Apple and Nike that they got together for some special stuff. It looks fantastic. I could actually see Apple doing something like this. Especially the exploded view that shows what's inside looks so Apple-like. The way the cord is wrapped around, all the documentation, everything about it looks great.
Yeah, it's just Apple does everything with paper now and origami.
Exactly. So, yeah, maybe they could make this out of cardboard. It wouldn't be the same. You can't quite see through it. But I love it. Absolutely love it. I'll put a link in the show notes so people can check that out. It's fun. We have some new challenges, Apple Watch activity challenges. We have two of them. We have an Earth Day challenge and an International Dance Day. I didn't even know that was a thing. So that's the first time for that. April 22nd. So we're talking, by the time you listen, if you listen to this on Sunday, you've only got like 3 days. If you listen to this on Monday, you got only a couple of days, but it's Apple's Earth Day Challenge. Celebrate Earth Day, do a workout for 30 minutes or more to get that. That's a commitment. And then April 29th is International Dance Day. So you get this award by doing a dance workout of 20 minutes or more. And it doesn't have to be in public. So
I've never done a dance workout. That's one thing I don't think I've ever done.
I haven't either. I've not done it. Now, we don't know what that award looks like. It's not listed here. But we do see what the Earth Day one is, which is pretty cool. You got the Earth on a bicycle, walking or hiking and jogging. And you got the 2021 with the Earth spinning in the middle. It's kind of nice. I like these. Mm. Very cool.
So how does the dance know you're doing a dance versus just like walking around?
It does.
I mean, there's a lot of different dances, right? I don't want to get into it, I guess, but I'm just thinking,
is there
what
a
do
dance,
I need to do?
A fitness plus, is there a dance one? No,
I think so.
Is there?
I think there is a dance exercise one. Yeah.
Yeah. Do that one. Yeah, but there is. Yeah, I think I've seen my daughter's, it pops up on my watch when she finishes workouts. I think she's done a dance one. So
yeah. I like to do the salsa,
there is.
But more of the chips and dip version.
I'm going to do the slow dance to, you know, a Kiss song from 1975. I think that's what I'll do.
Yeah, you have to. It doesn't matter what song you do, right? That'd be different.
There are dances here. I see you have to scroll over because I always do the, you know, kind of the hit and mm-hmm. the, so I see dance. Yeah, there's plenty of stuff on here for dance.
Also, speaking of Earth Day, from now until April 22nd, so hopefully that includes whatever Apple's going to release on Tuesday. Apple will be donating $1 to Conservation International for every Apple Pay purchase made on Apple.com through the Apple Store app or Apple retail stores. So,
get your HomePods then.
Do what? Yeah, but okay. So if I buy like a huge expensive thing, they donate $1. It should be a percentage, you know. But then again, you buy something small, they'll do it too, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's every single one. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And speaking of quality shows, there's also a new Apple Plus TV documentary, which will be released, I think it's next week, or maybe it was this past Friday, called The Year Earth Changed, which I think is going to be – it's a documentary about what has happened to the Earth since COVID and, you know, without people being outside mm-hmm. and doing what we do and work for a year, what has actually happened with the Earth. I'm definitely going to watch that one. That looks very, very interesting.
It does. That looks really, really nice. And I'm sure very well done. So,
speaking of Apple Fitness, Apple Fitness Plus has expanded new workouts, new categories here for pregnancy, older adults, and beginners. Three new categories. And mm-hmm. they've also added more trainers, obviously, to help with that.
You could technically be all three.
You could. Well, no, you couldn't.
Older adult pregnancy. You're pushing a little there.
Yeah, I don't think you can mix that one in there, Vincent, but maybe. Depends on how you define old.
Exactly. Right? How do you define old?
I don't think they put an age range in there.
Right. Depends who you're asking.
But the new workout specifically for women who are pregnant, designed to help them stay active during a healthy pregnancy and prepare for life with a new baby. And then older adults includes 8 new workouts with a focus on strength, flexibility, balance, coordination, and mobility. Very nice. And then this is something I think was missing, really missing, and I'm glad they're doing it. Workout for beginners as well. Beginner-focused workouts available in yoga, strength, and the HIIT categories. The moves are low impact and designed to teach you proper form and technique. So that's truly what a beginner one should be. Mm-hmm. And then you can move from that into the other ones. But anyway, those start tomorrow, April 19th. You should see those show up in your Apple Fitness.
Technique is a good one too, because I think I mentioned this. When you go do a new, let's say the HIIT exercise, mm-hmm. and Kim, who's the instructor I like to use, you know, she's like, here's how you do it. Let's go do it. And you're like, wait a minute. What?
Exactly. You know?
And I'm not sure I'm doing it. I can watch and do it, but am I really doing it correctly? Are my feet doing exactly what they're supposed to do? Because mm-hmm. that's what I don't feel I'm doing sometimes. I can do the movement, but I'm like, I just don't feel 100% correct.
Right.
So it's good that they can kind of teach you the moves, get good at it, and then you'll see them pop up in other exercises.
Yeah, and that's something
I've
noticed, like even doing the strength one with Greg or whatever, it mm-hmm. they'll go from one to the next and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm still trying to figure out this first one. Am I doing it right? You know.
Well, that's because we're old men, Tom.
Yeah. You
know, younger people probably crank them right out.
But you still, if it's a brand new exercise, you're still not sure you're doing it correctly.
That's true.
You know, and by the time you figure it out, they've moved on.
Yeah.
So it's like, wait a minute, pause. So anyway.
And the beginner one's great too, because I think that when I do my HIIT exercises, I'm in the middle. Sometimes I can do exactly what they're doing, and sometimes I can't. I use the person on their back right, which is usually the person that's doing the older stuff.
They're doing the other version of the workout.
Right. Instead of hopping in the air and kicking, they're sliding and just kind of hopping.
They're still balancing on their knees. Yeah.
So I find myself in between. So I'm going to try these out. I'm going to look at both beginner and older adults this week.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I'm the back left guy.
Yeah. That's pretty much that person's like trying to smile on their face while the other two people are like sweating and doing all the.
And they casually make reference to them every now and then. Or you can still do it this way back here with so and so.
That's right.
Last thing, I promise. I got excited about this. This is really cool. We've talked about this in the past, and I don't know if we've ever mentioned this, but there is actually a website, and I'll put a link in the show notes to this. If you like your activity awards that you get on your phone and your watch when you complete an activity, you can get an actual physical metal pin now for a lot of these awards. There's a website. These people are creating actual awards, which are really cool. They look great in real life, you know, to see different, perfect week activity, different awards for the different, Veterans Day awards, spring, all that kind of stuff is here by category. Some are sold out. Some are from the past. You can't, get yet. They're almost like collector pins. But how cool. They're magnetic. You can stick them on your fridge. Yeah. You can click them together, and make certain things with each month. You can get one for every month of the year if you complete that challenge. How much are they? These are like $12.99, $11.99. I guess they're varying price by the pin, $10.99.
Right.
Very cool. Great idea. Mm-hmm. How did they get permission is what I want to know.
No idea.
They don't.
I was going to ask that same thing. Like,
So I got hooked on, I saw, that's a t-shirt that had the three rings, the activity rings.
Yeah.
And I'm like, those aren't the exact colors, but I'm going to buy it anyway. And then it showed up and it wasn't even close. It's like three different colors, right? I would guess that they don't have the rights and you're going to get something that's going to look a little different than the picture. That's what I'm guessing.
But from what I can see, they've been doing this for a couple of years. Or do they go back and do some older ones? Because you can go back a couple of years and get certain awards.
You can just look at their pictures. The colors are all different, right? The design is close, but the colors are different. So it's not it's not exact.
But I think it's good enough, though, to have the actual award. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't think anybody remembers the actual colors.
Right. And to have these on your fridge or something, I mean – yeah, there's some wild stuff here. And they're current. They're up to stuff from, I guess, last year or this year, right? Mm-hmm. So 2021 stuff on here? I see 2020.
Not yet.
There we go. There's a New Year award for 2021. Mm-hmm. So you can get that. Nice. I like that. I may be ordering some of these. These are cool. They make great little gifts too, right?
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
If you have someone you follow, along with, and they reach a certain award, you could
send. Or if you do a challenge, that's the prize.
Exactly. Yeah. I like that. That's cool. All right. Again, I'll put a link in the show notes to that. But all right, time to move on. Let's move on to what we like this week. Vincent, why don't you kick it off?
Yeah. So this is kind of like a continuation of my journey of automating my house with the Lutron Casetta devices. So I installed the fans so you can control them with HomeKit, but I wanted to have something that, like, hey, if the temperature reached a certain mark, or if it got too hot in the house, then the fans would turn on. So I scoured Amazon looking for something that had a thermometer. So I came upon the Ondis HomeKit door sensor. And why buy one function with just a thermometer? But this thing is a thermometer, it's a hygrometer or humidity sensor, and a door sensor with a siren all at once. Wow. So I'm like, well, hey, yeah, I'm just going to buy this thing, and I can have all three in one. And the advertising says that you can automate off of the the sensors that, that it has. So anyways, it comes with batteries, double back tape so that you can put it on your door, and an extra set just in case you screw up, which I did, in terms of the alignment of how it all puts together. And on there, the big main siren piece goes on the door, and then the little tiny sensor on the other side that completes the loop sits on the door frame. Mine didn't fit very well because apparently it's not, you know, in terms of depth, the door and the frame don't align. And then like my door frame molding has these curves on them, so right, it doesn't sit very well. So the whole thing is kind of, you know, dilapidated.
It's going to fall off is what you're saying.
It's going to put together
in the middle of the night. It's going to fall off. Yeah.
So I've got this thing hooked up to my back door, and my wife's not too happy about it. And so I joined it to HomeKit. It's easy. I mean, you do the thing. It doesn't have any other software. It doesn't have any other app, but I think they have an app in the App Store, but you don't have to install that. I connected it to HomeKit. I pull up HomeKit, trying to do the automation, and it doesn't let you choose temperature or humidity as a trigger for your automation. And I'm like,
That's the one reason you bought it.
It's the one reason. So, but it does show up in your home app, the temperature and humidity, which is kind of cool. Like, we pull up the HomeKit, you know, you see the information there, and it, the security functionality, you know, you can enable and arm it. It has the classic modes of off, away, night mode, or home, and you can turn it on. It's pretty cool. I mean, if you have it on home mode and everybody opens the door, it beeps like a convenience store.
Yes, yes.
I don't know if you want that.
I have that with my Simply Safe.
Okay, yeah.
It's a ding. Yeah, it's a chime. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is much more convenience store esque.
Oh, it's, does it ring like a bell?
Yeah, like a little chime bell, yeah.
Yeah, it's at 120 decibels. So it's very, very loud.
Oh, my gosh.
So the Amazon listing, even though it says that you can use home automation with the sensors, is disappointingly does not. It just lies, all lies.
Oh, my gosh. Lies. One rating, one star.
So you can't use it for that. But if you do need to have some sort of pseudo alarm for, I guess, a secret cabinet of cookies or something that you can connect this to.
Well, I'll give you a good example of how I wish I'd had this a long time ago.
Yeah.
When we put in our pool at our house, and our kids were little, right? Uh-huh. Very little. I had to install a slide lock at the top of the door to lock it so the kids couldn't accidentally open the door and wander out, you know, unsupervised, right, for the pool.
Yeah.
This would have been awesome because you could just hear it. You'd know when someone opened that door.
Yeah.
And you'd know to go check to see what was going on.
Right. Yeah. So the advertising the on Amazon, it's got a Photoshop of a kid, you know.
It's
dog or something like that to get out. So you can use it for it's got purposes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it'll alert you on your phone if the door opens or closes and such. But I got it on sale. I think it had a coupon for $8 off, so like $20. And so I did not return it. I was like, oh, I'm just going to keep it. But it's $28 on Amazon. And that's the on this HomeKit window door sensor.
Okay. Nice. So
I'll look at that. You have a link in the show notes, I'm sure, Tom. I may check into that.
Yeah, I'll put a link in there for these always. All right, Chris, what do you got?
I had a couple quick things. I know, Tom, I was going to do my Pad and Quill HomePod Max case review here in a second. But Doge, since we talked about Doge cryptocurrency on
it's
a couple shows
ago. Blown up.
Thank you very much. I'm doing well, and so let's keep talking about it. I just wanted to bring it up because it's killing it.
Is that going to finance what you're going to buy this week from Apple?
Oh, my gosh. It might finance my car.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm really happy right now. And the other one, I forgot to mention this when we were doing the news for what I would predict and what I want. I want a HomeKit app interface design, please. I am done with this app. It is terrible. Hire me. Apple, yes, hire me. Yeah. I could tell these people what to do to make it so much better. But we need that. That is, it is just a ridiculously crummy interface.
It is. It's not very Apple-like, is it?
No, they did over a weekend and they haven't updated it at all.
So. Yeah.
So those are my two little ones. But I did get my Pad and Quill HomePod Max case. And I know you were checking before the show for your order.
It's like, you got it already? I haven't even got a shipping notice. Yeah.
I mean, when you brought it up in the show a couple months ago, I was pointing and clicking and buying before the show was over, right?
Right,
so,
right.
So I've got it. And, you know, if I read from the bullet points on the website and tell you about it. So includes low power mode magnet array. Yep, that's in there, you know, to help for the low power. Luxury hard case with desktop stand built in. Haven't figured that one out yet. I've looked at images, but I haven't figured out how to really manipulate this case.
I didn't know it did. It stands up?
Yeah, it inverts upside down, and then the HomePods Max sit on top of it. You have to look at a picture. Okay. I haven't really figured it out yet. I just got these things yesterday, so I'm kind of manipulating around. Easy and secure magnet closure, absolutely. Ballistic nylon. So I had to look up ballistic nylon. And ballistic nylon was designed in World War II. It's a very strong nylon that was used like on vests to help with shrapnel, right? So ballistic nylon, it's the nylon's awesome. You can see it. Interior pocket for your cables. Yep, that's really nice in there. And then soft American full grain leather. That's a lot of words to say leather, but it's, you know, brown. I think brown was the only option too. I can't remember if there was a black.
You had two colors of to choose from. It was what was it? Whiskey or chestnut?
Okay, I think this is chestnut. Great color, great dark feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leather is fantastic. So it was $130. Is it worth it? Eh, I don't know. It's a leather case, but it's got some cool things to it. But a great case. So you have to do a little assembly required inside for where the HomePods Max kind of sit. But once you kind of click two things together and put the HomePod I've been saying HomePods. I'm meaning to say AirPods.
I wonder what you mean. Man.
Thank you very much. Why don't you correct me? AirPods. AirPods. When you put them in there, you zip it up, and it's a solid case, and it looks great. It feels great. Now the only thing is, I'm actually looking to might be starting to travel for work again next month, or minimum early June. So we're actually kind of ramping up to say I may go here, may go there. This thing will not fit in my work bag. So it's a little, big, little clunky. Yeah. It just doesn't slide anywhere effectively. Now the Apple case it came with, I could just put the AirPods Max right in the top of my backpack and it fits great. But this case, there's no way. It just won't fit effectively. So I have to work through that. But if you want a case that's different than the Apple case, this is pretty nice. Is it worth $130? Probably not. But you know, you've paid $550 for a nice pair of fantastic AirPods. You might as well buy a great case.
It's $180.
$180?
Yeah, $179.95 on the website.
Is that what I paid for it? Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to pay $180, I'll pay $130. Oh my gosh, I got to evaluate it with the right criteria. $180 is a little overpriced.
But it's a super quality leather. That thing's going to last forever. It'll probably outlast your AirPods Max.
Yeah, they didn't chintz out on it. Yeah, it's a 25-year warranty, I think they give you.
Yeah, it's wow. They make crazy good leather products. Now, the stand, I think what they're saying, can you stand it up on its own, on end?
Yes, you do. You stand it up on your own, and then you push in the top.
No. You put the headphones over it, and that's how it becomes a headphone stand.
Right. You put the headphones over it, but you kind of push down the top so the headphones kind of sit in a little recessed part of the case.
Oh, okay.
And then you set it up and it sits on its own. So, yeah, you just got to kind of manipulate a little bit to get it done.
Right.
It's a great case. It'll keep them, you know, totally protected versus the Apple ones. You know, if you drop it, you know, something could happen somewhere. But anyway, I know yours will be coming, it looks like, this week, Tom. So
hopefully.
You can do a follow-up review when you get yours.
Yeah, I'll do that. I also like the idea. It has a little zipper case inside to store the cables and stuff. But mine, I mean, I don't have a particular thing to put it in other than my luggage when I travel, you know, so yeah. I'm not worried about size as much, fitting in a backpack or anything like that. So,
well, my you know, worrying about this getting in my backpack was not as, you know, to me, I used to travel, you know, I used to talk about it all the time. I'm getting like anxiety now.
Yeah.
I'm going to fly to Dallas. Oh, wait a minute. You know, right. I got invited, like, hey, our offices are open June 1st. You want to come visit? I'm like, maybe I do. I don't know. So anyway, right. I'm going from road warrior to like anxious traveler.
Yeah. We booked our first show.
All right.
It'll be in September in Phoenix. And I'm like, oh, okay. I think by then it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. Anxious, very anxious about it, but we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. What I like this week, a couple of things. Still enjoying the heck out of my AirPods Max headphones, speaking of AirPods Max. And I've added something to that experience that is pretty similar to the idea of adding a new watch band to your Apple Watch. I now have new ear cushions on my AirPod Max that are a different color. So I have the silver headphones and I ordered the blue ear cushions. And really for three different reasons. First is the idea, I like the idea of having a spare set. It's nice and they're meant to be switched out because they're so easy to do. And you know, it's actually easier and faster than switching an Apple Watch band. I mean, these just pop in, pop out. Second is the color. It adds a nice new look to the headphones, sort of customized, if you will. And third is that I can tell my headphones apart from my wife's, which happen to also be silver. So if we travel with these around the road doing whatever, we won't get mixed up as to who's, we could see them instantly by the color. And it's a small, you know, point, but it will make a difference in the future. So anyway, they come in a box. I think this was kind of designed, I think, to put the other pair in for storage. It has a little pull tab that slides them partway out. You remove the cushions and you can slip the other pair back in the box very easily for storage. So I think that was something they may have actually thought about when they designed this box. It's kind of nice. Now, they cost $69. It's not cheap, but it is cheaper than a new pair of AirPods Max if your cushions get ruined or worn out, I should say. But I'm enjoying them as a new look, and I may get some new other colors down the road, but very nice. Second is what I didn't like this week, and we mentioned it earlier in the show, is my iMac going on strike and refusing to come back to life. So I was working on our business website, and I was having some issues refreshing, and you know, I tried refreshing and emptying the cache. All of that type of stuff didn't solve it. The next step is you shut down your Mac and you restart. Well, shutdown was fine. I pushed the button to turn it back on after a few minutes. No startup chime and no screen at all. Totally black, but it had power. I could hear the wind-up sound of the drive, but that was it. Wouldn't do anything after that. And I tried every possible fix, from zapping the PRAM. You'll get a kick out of that, Vincent. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Safe boot mode. Tried to boot from another drive. I even removed the memory sticks from the back. And then when you restarted, I got that annoying beep sound when you have no RAM installed. So everything there was working fine. But the same thing every time. No screen, no chime. I let it sit overnight. Tried again. Same thing. So I'm thinking at this point it's probably the graphics card, right? I'm getting no picture here. So I thought, well, I can take this to Apple. It's a bit of a hassle. They can fix it, and it will tide me over until the next, you know, the new Apple Silicon iMacs are announced, which hopefully may be in 2 days. After a little bit of research, did you know that Apple puts its older computers into two different categories?
That's called, yeah.
They're called
legacy and something.
Vintage. And obsolete.
That's right.
Guess which category my iMac is in. Yep.
Oh, let me
obsolete.
Guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is 9 years old. It's a 2012 iMac. So yeah, I shouldn't be too surprised. Yeah. But the point is they won't even touch it other than to recycle it. So that's out of the question. So I thought, okay, even more of a hassle, but maybe a little bit of an adventure. Maybe I can replace the board myself, right? I have iFixit. I have videos. YouTube videos show you how, right? Nope. This particular model iMac, and each one after, it was the first year they did this, has the graphic chips are actually soldered to the main board. So it's pretty much totaled.
Hmm.
So I now have, and I have a Time Machine backup, of course. So I'm not, you know, I didn't lose anything there. Anyway, I ordered a couple of simple tools from iFixit to open the Mac. I've never opened one of these before, this style of iMac. The screen isn't magnetic. It's actually glued on with adhesive strips.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I popped that glass off. I got the hard drive out. And I have an enclosure I can put that in to access the hard drive, or so I thought. I forgot that this is a lovely Fusion drive, where the OS is actually on an SSD in the Mac and works in combination with the HDD, the hard drive. So it's nothing's accessible unless you have both of those. So I can't recover from that drive, but I do have a Time Machine backup, so I am okay with that. But I took the hard drive out, so when I recycle the Mac, I won't have to worry about the data on it. So this Mac was going to be the one that I moved to this to the podcasting studio when I got a new iMac. And since that plan is now gone, I ordered a Mac Mini M1 to restore to it and use until the new Apple Silicon Macs come out, which hopefully will be in a few days. So maybe I might have to send that M1 Mac Mini back, which I can probably do. But anyway, that was the idea, or the Mac Mini would go to the studio. That would be a great machine to record on. So it sounds complicated, but it was like a perfect storm of failure. There was just no way to recover from this. Again, my long-term plans were to replace this now dead 9-year-old iMac with a nice 5K version. And I almost did that last year, but it was running fine. I thought I'd wait, and it didn't make it. So I'm running off my MacBook Pro now, which sounds great, except it doesn't have enough RAM to kind of really do what I need to do. My iMac, the only reason I think it lasted as long as it did was I maxed it out when I bought it. I got 64 gigs of RAM, the most you could get, the biggest hard drive, all that stuff. And that extra RAM makes a huge difference. So anyway, bad week for electronics for me. we have this a gate across our driveway that works with a remote control, like your garage. That died this week too. So there's something in the air messing with my electronics this week. I don't know. Too bad I couldn't get my old iMac to run the gate. Then I'd be fine. But anyway, that's my story this week. I'll keep you updated as it moves along. But that's the first time in a very long time where I've actually had one die on me and not been able to recover.
Well, now you have a nice end table maybe you could build.
It's too big. It's really big.
A coffee table.
Okay, a small coffee table. Turn it on its end and use it that way. No, I'm actually going to have to recycle this, take it to Apple and let them just take it because, there's, like I said, there's nothing. There's no way to act. I tried every avenue I could. And, you know, that's kind of a warning to us today or kind of something to be aware of. When you buy a new device from Apple now, other than the Mac Pro, what you buy is it. You know, I don't even know if you can put memory in an iMac still? I don't know that you can. Well, we won't know on the new ones either if you can. You order something, you better over-order it. Because if you plan on having it for a while, because you just can't go in and do what you need to do to update it that easily anymore. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my sad iMac story.
Hey, Tom?
Yep.
I did double check on the pricing. There is something called the Brief AirPods Max case, which is $180. And then there's the AirPods Max leather case, which is $130. I got the AirPods Max leather case for $130.
Oh,
you must have got the Brief AirPods Max case.
Where's this other one?
Yeah, because I knew I paid $130 for it, so I was like, I don't think I paid $180 for this. So I just went on the Pat and Chloe website and looked, and there's two different cases.
Oh, there it is, Max leather cases, $129. You're right. What's the difference? Mm-hmm.
One, if you look at the brief, which is more, it's kind of fold over the top like a briefcase that you carry, and it's a little boxier, where the one I bought is more like a sleeve.
It is different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my. Okay. Now I'm wondering
which
one I got.
I thought the one you put in the show notes was the $130 one, but I know it was probably 10 shows ago, but I can't remember. You have to look.
I'm looking at my order right now. I got the brief.
Oh, you did get the brief. Okay.
Yeah, I got the $179. That's why it didn't ship. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go. Interesting.
And while you were doing your review, I figured out how to make mine a stand-up case, and it works fantastic.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, so real-time nice. Feedback here.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, now there, mystery solved.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anything else before we check our credit limit on our Apple Card just to get ready for this upcoming week?
I think I told you I'm good to go.
I'm seriously going to do that. I'm going to make sure I got room on that card, because if they order iMac, if they announce iMacs and there's a chip shortage going on, man, I got to be fast to order. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be waiting quite a while.
The Jeopardy buzzer. You'll have the Jeopardy buzzer, man.
Exactly.
First question.
I need an iMac buzzer. All right. Well, that's all the time we do have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Like I said, links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe, or soon to be called follow, us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. Look for us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. As always, thanks for listening. Stay safe. And until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.
Well, you know, with this new bleep button, maybe we should do an entire show, but we just swear constantly.
Just
a normal show.
There you go.
But just with swearing. It would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Hey,
I'll take the intro from this show and just add beeps to it. Right? Because everything's funnier with bleeps, right? I mean,
it is. Yeah.
You just make the F sound. You say bleeps,
unnecessary,
right?
Unnecessary censoring.
Would be hysterical, wouldn't it? Oh, my gosh.